The 108-year-old San Antonio Zoo is located in a big hospitality city. With two theme parks, the Alamo, the Riverwalk, World Heritage Sites, and more, there's plenty to see and do in San Antonio. So how do they keep it fresh and give visitors a reason to keep coming back? Well, the zoo is currently addressing that through a multi-year redevelopment and reimagining process. Earlier this year, in Park Magazine's Joe Kleiman sat down with Tim Morrow, San Antonio Zoo's CEO, to talk about the changes and plans. And even since that meeting, the zoo announced a new 4D theater that's opening this summer. So clearly, the plans are continuing to grow and evolve. So, for more of The Scoop, here's Joe and Tim.
Because of the changing environment that we live in, are you having to make changes in the redevelopment plans as they progress?
The zoo is 108 years old, so we have a lot of great new areas and then a lot of historic areas. And part of the charm of our zoo is the historic aspects. Each director has kind of been putting their fingerprint on it. And so we wanted to update the master plan when I got here. And so we did that. We're a city with two theme parks, and those theme parks are in a capital war with each other. They're both putting in major attractions every single year. We want the zoo to stay relevant and top of mind in our community and for visitors as well. So we've adopted that same philosophy. We're trying to have a capital project every year, not on the size, obviously, of the theme parks, but something is always being built anew each year at the zoo now. And then on top of that, we've heavily layered with events and other learning from theme parks. We have a Zoo Lights program for holidays, which is 7 weeks long now. Our Zoo Boo was 2 nights 7 years ago. Now it's 6 weeks long. We do a summer program all summer long with giant animatronic dinosaurs or giant animatronic bugs or Legos. And so there's almost always something different when you come to the zoo on a day-to-day basis. So we've created that repeatability for the annual pass member or people coming on one-day tickets. And then by putting capital in each year, we're probably bringing some people back that hadn't been before, or we're holding on to more members. And, you know, we're up over 100,000 members now, which we're really excited about. So we're having a great reach into the community with over 1 million visitors a year as well.
So I first met you almost a decade ago when you were vice president with SeaWorld. You were involved while you were with SeaWorld with a number of innovative programs, Discovery Cove, Discovery Point, there in San Antonio, and the redefinition of the San Antonio Park. What elements did you take from that in terms of interactivity?
It's impactful to people. I mean, people wept at Discovery Cove after dolphin encounters and things like that. We're just really inspired. Coming here, just really focusing on the guest experience overall. There was no kind of operations experience department 7 years ago. So we've created a department called guest experience, and they're really responsible and the advocate for the guest from the internet to the time they park, to the time they come in, to the time they leave. And so that has increased the experience of the zoo guest overall. But we've really been working with our habitats to try to get guests safely up close with animals as possible. We brought it, you know, our giraffe feeding deck's a great example, where you're eye to eye on an elevated deck with giraffes. We have a lot of opportunities for guests to connect with animals through going into Laurie Landing, a flamingo feeding experience now. You can go in with tortoises and meet tortoises. You can go in with kangaroos now and meet kangaroos. And so we're really trying to bring those points. And we know that when people have that time to stay at a location and learn more about the animal, they're going to come away caring for that animal more. And when we have these opportunities like giraffe feed, our animal care specialists and our educators are there talking to these guests about the plight of giraffes in the wild or the plight of all these other species that they're doing these interactions with. And it really has a powerful impact, more than someone just looking for whatever the average time is at an exhibit or maybe reading the sign. Those conversations are really impactful. So the interaction does a couple things. One is it lets us educate people on a greater level. And two, it allows that guest to get up close and really form a connection with that animal.
Do you still have the tug of war with the lions?
Yeah, we do the tug of war. We didn't do it as much during COVID because we weren't opening that door and we have the separation going on. So we're a little bit cautious of it now. We're just not doing it as often, but it's a really great enrichment for the lions. They love that rope. They win every time. They love it so much, we have to kind of give them some whipped cream to let go of it, so we get them after they do it. But that's a great experience too for people to really feel the strength of how strong a lion is. And they can find video online of, we had four WWE wrestlers out here trying to pull 1 2-year-old female and couldn't budge her. I mean, these were four massive men and cannot budge her. And so it really shows the strength that those cats have.
You brought up COVID, and that's actually a good segue here. Over the past few years, zoo animals, especially felines and apes, have been impacted as well. And what precautions have you taken for the animals in terms of COVID? Are you vaccinating them? And are there restrictions in terms of human contact with the animals to protect them as well?
We have an annual zoo directors meeting that's usually around January of each year. In January of 2020, we were talking about COVID before it was really a mainstream story. We keep having these strains or these diseases come out of these wet markets or those kind of things. So part of zoo's messaging is the poaching issue and on other parts of the world, in all parts of the world, and the illegal trafficking of animals and these wet markets. And so we were at the meeting talking about how are we going to message this to really bring awareness to the poaching and the trafficking and the wet markets. And then, well, of course, we had no idea what COVID was going to become, but we were paying attention to it early, which I think was a benefit to zoos as far as awareness at the director level and those kind of things. And then the veterinarians at the zoos all speak to each other regularly, or if something abnormal comes up, they all get on calls together or have a listserv that they're communicating. So when we saw COVID starting to move around the country, we started masking animal care specialists and veterinarians. Early on, before people were masking, we were doing it. And our animal care specialists and vets are used to dealing with the potential of transmission with animals. And so we're a little bit ahead of the game there as well. And then when the vaccine came out, we vaccinated a round of animals, small primates, cats, and things like that. And then we just recently did a second round on some different species that we had not vaccinated the first round. So we continue that process. And we do have restrictions. We used to take people on tours through our big cat house, and we don't do that anymore. The animal care specialists continue to wear masks in those areas. If you do a hippos behind the scene or rhinos, our guests are masking for that, those interactions. It's not required at the zoo, but when we do get up close, we do that. We had a lot of barriers that we put up at the beginning of the pandemic to keep people spaced away from exhibits and things. And really, as we design new exhibits, we're building that thought process into design, because we've learned a lot during COVID. There wasn't very many positive things that came out of COVID, but for us as our zoo, going into a big capital campaign and expansion, it gave us a lot of learnings, including we want to build in the ability for cars to be able to drive through, because we invented the drive-through zoo. We gave that to zoos around the world to use. And you go through COVID and you realize that was one of the things that saved us first. And it created some great accessibility for guests that maybe couldn't come because of age or disabilities and those kind of things. So we're going to continue to have that on little runs to go, but really changed the thought process of design, and specifically animals and the spaces between the guests and those animals.
So let's talk about new exhibits. You just recently announced a big gorilla exhibit coming.
Yes.
And why are gorillas so important to have in San Antonio? What sort of impact do you think this will have?
We have not had gorillas here since 1991. So we've had generations of kids grow up in San Antonio that have probably never had the opportunity to see a gorilla in real life and learn about that species. That's the first reason we want to be able to tell that story of gorillas and their plight in the wild. The design we have is really unique. It's going to be two outdoor habitats for gorillas, really focused on enrichment and wellness and welfare. Our conservation biologists are working on the project, our animal welfare team, animal care staff. Houston Zoo is helping us. I'm going to go show it to Dallas Zoo Director in a couple of weeks. So there's been great input on this exhibit, which right now is designed as the largest gorilla habitat in the country. And so it's really important for us to be in the gorilla conservation program and working with SSP. And, you know, we've already started contributing to the SSP, the SAFE program for gorillas. And really want to be telling that story to our guests and our visitors about the importance of gorillas and what's happening to them in the wild. So I think it's going to be a great win for the zoo, because it is a species. When you look at national surveys of animals expected at great zoos, gorillas, of course, is top three or top five. And we've been lacking that for 30 plus years. And as you walk the zoo as an employee, people stop you at least once or twice a week. Where's the gorillas? Where's the orangs? Where is this? And they're coming. They'll be here. Now we can say it. Now we can say that they're coming. We're very excited about it. And our community is really excited as well.
And also recently announced is a new entrance to the zoo. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So both of these are part of phase one of our big overall capital campaign, which is called Generation Zoo, which the Generation Zoo really speaks to what I mentioned earlier, the 108-year-old history of the zoo, and all those have come before and all those will come for the next 100 years. When I got to the zoo, one of the things we really needed to focus on was parking. So we were successful in 2017 on the city bond to get funding for a 600 car parking garage that's on the zoo grounds here. We used to run out of parking, not just for the zoo, but there's multiple museums around this park also. We'd run out of parking in this area by 10 a.m. on weekends and holidays. So that's really helped. And that was the foundation of our growth, because we could build out this massive campus and use all 50 acres, but if you couldn't park to come see it, what was the point? So the garage was step one. The next logical step in the guest experience is to get them safely and efficiently in the front gate. So our current front gate was built in the 50s. It is probably when the zoo was doing a 200,000 people maybe a year, and we're doing 1.2 million now. We band-aided some fixes to try to move the turnstiles in further and those kind of things, but the layout doesn't work. The gift shop is way undersized. We have accessibility issues. We have one accessible path coming up that's 4 feet wide, so not really two ways. And we're literally about 15 feet from the street. So when we have busy days, we have to cone off sections of the street because our crowd overflows into the street trying to get in. And so we're making it safer, we're making it more efficient, and then we also want to make it more inspiring. It's a very uninspiring entrance right now when you come, a little underwhelming. And so the new entrance really takes the feel and culture of San Antonio that we talked about earlier and integrates that into our front gate. So people know when they get here, wow, look at that. It looks fun already, and I am going to have a great time, and it feels like San Antonio. I know I'm in the San Antonio Zoo. We'll get people in much quicker. The roof is an event space for 200 or 300 people. And then we have these historic buildings right inside of our front gate that have been buried behind fences and old monkey cages. It used to be the monkey house that we decommissioned about 5 or 6 years ago. That's going to become a centerpiece of our plaza, which is it's a beautiful WPA era building. And so there's going to be a lot of opportunity for people to kind of get in, decompress and relax on the way in, on the way out, and get them in safer and faster. And we're really excited about to talk about other lessons from COVID. We're going to design our new entrance without the traditional ticket booths. And so we are right now kiosks that are starting to come. So our parking garage will have kiosks to buy your tickets. Our other parking lot where our Starbucks and our train operation is will have kiosks to buy tickets. And then at the front gate, we'll have more of a concierge style arrival where we'll have some employees out with iPads helping those that had issues and QR codes and things. But another example of if we had built this 2 years ago before COVID, 3 years ago before COVID, we would have put 16 ticket booths. And that is not. The world is moving now and has been accelerated through COVID. And my example I use to people is, because it does freak people out a little bit. It freaks my operations people out a little bit. But my question is always, when is the last time you went to the movie theater and bought a ticket at the theater? People have changed their pattern of purchasing movie tickets. Is all online, all on phone. The world has just changed so fast technology-wise in the last 3 years that we know by the time this gate opens, that technology and guests will be ready to do it. We'll have some training to do with people and things like that and getting them used to it. But I think it's going to be really successful for us.
Beyond the new entrance and the gorilla habitat, what else can we look forward to in the coming years at the zoo?
You know, if you look at Google Earth or a map of our zoo, our campus is over 50 acres. We really only use about 30 of it because we are built in a historic quarry from the 1800s. In the 70s, a highway came through. Basically from the airport into downtown, came through the zoo grounds, right down the middle almost. And we are connected underneath that highway. So we have the ability to move guests back and forth to both sides. We've never developed that side of the highway. We hope that we get over there and really expand the zoo to that side of the highway in the next few years. But overall, I think the big picture is really, we have some areas of the zoo right now that we need to renovate. The zoo of yesterday was really judged by how many animals they have and with the menagerie style small exhibitry, and we still have some of that here. And so we're working to really upgrade what we have now and then work our way across the highway. What we did not want to do was work our way over to this new fresh ground while we had areas we still needed to deal with and refresh on this side. We planned some pretty aggressive growth in the next 15, 20 years. The last seven have been pretty aggressive with new habitats coming every year and a lot of upgrades and those kind of things. And as we see more people coming out of COVID and they're visiting zoos and theme parks because of the outdoor attraction to the outdoor spaces. We know we're going to continue to grow, and Texas continues to grow. San Antonio continues to grow. We're really excited about our future, and people are going to continue to see great world-class habitats and experiences coming to San Antonio Zoo.
Before we conclude this episode, we have a somber footnote to add. The San Antonio Zoo staff has been impacted by the recent school shooting in nearby Uvalde, 90 minutes away, and have been preparing box lunches for law enforcement working the scene. In fact, school children from Robb Elementary visited the zoo just a few weeks before the shooting. The zoo also is lighting its parking garage in memory of the 21 killed for 21 consecutive days. Our hearts go out to the victims and to the larger community. This has been In Park Tracks, the audio companion to In Park Magazine. For more information and to sign up for a free subscription, visit inparkmagazine.com/subscribe. In Park Tracks is a production of In Park Magazine. Our executive producers are Philip Hernandez and Martin Palicki, and post-production by David Swope. The In Park staff includes Judith Rubin, Joe Kleiman, and Jordan Zuha.